Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. Can you please turn to your neighbor? No slaps. Hallelujah. Amen. Please just put your hands on your hearts right now and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Today is the day that you have made. I have been rejoicing. I will keep rejoicing and keep being glad in it. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the word that you have for me today. I thank you that that word is specifically for me. I bless you. I thank you that your word will not return unto you void. It will accomplish the purpose for which he has been sent. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 Can you please give Jesus a big hand clap? Hallelujah. That was such a weak hand clap. Like, you know, when Arsenal does badly and you know. Come on, give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We serve a living God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're just going to jump straight into the word. We're going to be reading a very familiar text. It's from John chapter 5. We're going to read all the way to from verse 1 to 15. Hallelujah. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in, first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Turn to your neighbor, poke them and say, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is this man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who he was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. And afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Then the man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus who had made him well. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a very, very familiar text, and I'd just like to introduce the topic of today's sermon. And, you know, what we're going to do this morning, you know, the Bible says in Job 22:28 that you shall declare a thing and it shall be established. So what we're going to do now, we're going to talk to our neighbors, okay? And what you're going to be doing is you're going to be declaring the title of this message, but you're going to be speaking life into them. Amen. You're going to be declaring the word of God into them. Okay. You shall declare a thing, it will be established. So turn to your neighbor right now. Everyone's got to have a neighbor. Everyone's got to have it. So turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are next in line for a miracle. Turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, you are next in line for a miracle. So shut your eyes right now and say to yourself, and say, it's my turn. I am next in line for a miracle. It doesn't matter how many people are waiting here. It is my turn. It is my turn. It is my turn for a miracle. In the name of Jesus. Amen. How many people believe that? Some people didn't put up their hands. How many people believe that? Amen. I want to show you a picture of something. I need 10 volunteers, please. Come quickly out. 10. Man, woman, just come. Just line up like that, please. Yeah, just like that. Come on. Great, thank you. I need 2 more, 4 more. Please, okay. So, right. Let's assume this is a queue, right? Yeah? Okay. Joan, please face that way. Everyone face that way. So that's a queue, right? Who's first in line over there? Joan, yes? So if you're facing this way, Joan is first in line. Okay, everyone turn around and face that way. Who's first in line? Hallelujah. Okay, so everyone turn, face this way. Who is first in line? Hallelujah. Who is first in line? Hallelujah. So when we fix and focus our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, we are all first in line. Amen. Amen. So say to yourself, I'm first in line. I'm first in line. Amen. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Hallelujah. Okay, so please keep that picture right in front of you. Amen. So here, we read this text. This man was lying by this pool called Bethesda. And you know what Bethesda means? Bethesda means house of mercy. Amen? So say to your neighbor, I am so in the right place. I am in the house of mercy. You guys are saying like you're sad. Say it like you're excited. I'm in the right place. I'm in the house of mercy. If you're in the right of mercy, what's going to locate you in the house of mercy? Oh, please talk to me. What is going to locate you in the house of mercy? Mercy. So look, if your neighbor isn't talking to you, you can pinch them, you can slap them, you can, you know. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, amen? So say to your neighbor, I'm in the house of mercy. And mercy is bound to locate me today. Amen. So that's the first thing. The guy was in the house of mercy. Hallelujah. He was there. The Bible says that there were a great multitude of sick people there. Paralyzed, lame, all kinds of sickness were all there by this pool. So a multitude, hundreds, thousands, who knows, but lots of them. Okay? And what were they doing? They were waiting. They were waiting. You know, there are times in your life where, you know, all you can do is wait for God to show up. There are times when, you know, you've done all you can do and you're just waiting. So they were all waiting. So they all had 2 things in common. They were all sick and they were all waiting. Amen? They were waiting for an angel to come and stir up the waters. And the Bible says that whenever the angel came and stirred the waters, right, whoever got in there first, you know, would get healed. But you know what? There are 2 types of blessings from this scripture. It's the whoever blessings. As in, you know, like as we were worshiping the Lord this morning, I just believe that the Lord was just dropping blessings for whoever would want to receive it. Amen. And even as this sermon is going on, I know that the Lord is doing something for whoever. So say to your neighbor, I am whoever. I am grabbing the whoever blessings. And you know what? There is no limit. So it's not just for the first person who gets it. It's whoever. So as the Lord is, catch it if you can. Catch it and then just catch it, because it is for whoever. Hallelujah. And there's some blessings that God has for us that has your name on it. As in like Mary. Pa, it's for Mary. And that's it. Look, think about it. That's what happened with this guy. This guy, there were a multitude of people. Same thing. They were all sick. They were all waiting. And Jesus went through. Pa, it's you. And located this man. You know, the Bible says this guy had been ill for 38 years. We don't know how long he had been by the pool. We don't know, but he had had this sickness for 38 years. So, you know what? God has specific blessings for you. And let me, to buttress this point, remember the story of David. When Samuel was asked to go and anoint the son of Jesse, and Jesse called out 7 of his sons, even Samuel, when he saw Eliab, the guy was tall, dark, handsome, just like my husband. Hallelujah. You know, Samuel thought, surely it's this one. And the Lord said, not him. And then he saw Shimei, surely it's this one. No. Saw the third one, all of the 7 guys. And the Lord said, not this one's. And he had to ask for a Jesse if he had another son, right? And then he went to bring David. So you know what? Your blessing has your name tag on it. It doesn't matter how many people get there before you. It's, if it's for you, it is for you. Amen. So that blessing that Samuel had was specifically for David. It didn't matter that he hadn't been called out. It was for David. Hallelujah. So say, today, the blessings that the Lord has for me is mine. The mercy the Lord has, the favor he has for me, they are mine. He has my name written all over it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have the whoever blessings, and then we have the specific. So how many of us are going to go for both? Like, I'm getting the whoever and I'm getting the specific. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says here that now when Jesus saw him lying down there, and he had been in that condition a long time. Long time. 38 years is a long time. Some of us here are not even 38 years old. Some of us. Hallelujah. Well, you know how God is so merciful. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, Jesus will go for the one. He will single out one person. He will leave the 99 sheep and go looking for the one. He went looking for this guy. He knew he had been there. He had been ill for 38 years. And, you know, he asked him a question. Do you want to be made well? Like, come on, Lord Jesus. You see me paralyzed sitting by the pool. Do I want to be made well? Everyone here is waiting for the angel to stir up the waters. Of course I want to be made well. Why did Jesus ask the question? Why? Why? And, you know, we can tell from the man's response that the guy obviously had issues. You know, you've been ill for 38 years and someone comes and asks you, do you want to be made well? What you do is, oh, yes, of course, I've been waiting here for how long? You know, but that's how you respond. Like, of course, I want to be made well. What kind of a question is that? Well, that man didn't do that. He just started telling Jesus stories. Say to your neighbor, stop the stories. You know, like, stop telling stories. You know, he was saying, I have no man to put me into the pool. When the water stirred up, someone else jumps in before me. And you know what? If you think about this guy, he was full of excuses. And I just used to really judge him harshly. Like, gosh, come on now. I mean, it goes to show you don't really want to be well. You know, you're comfortable in your discomfort. You know, you like the attention you're getting. You know, like, if you wanted to be made well, you know, it's either you're sitting by the edge of the pool so that once the angel comes, you're in there, or you could actually live in the pool. Be in the pool. So when the angels come, you're already in the pool. You know, I say, come on, you need to do so much more. You know, it looks like you're not desperate enough. But, you know, Jesus is not like me. And said to your neighbor, Jesus is not like you. He's not like you. He is merciful. And he gives us things that we do not deserve sometimes. He's merciful. If not for his grace, if not for his mercy, where would we be? Where would we be? Where would we be? Where would we be? You know, as human beings, we look at some people and think, oh, come on now. What's up with her? She shouldn't be doing that, and she shouldn't be doing that. I mean, you'd have someone who hasn't raised teenagers judging someone who is raising teenagers and saying, oh, come on now. I have 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds, and I know how to sort them out. 13-year-olds, it's the same. You know, you can, really? Sure. You haven't walked in my shoes. Don't you judge me. I remember this friend of ours, she was in labor. And of course, her husband had gone to all these prenatal classes with her. And so when she was in labor, women who've been in labor, you know, it's a switch journey. And, you know, and the husband felt that he knew how she could control the pain. He had been to a few classes. So he was saying to his wife, remember what they taught us in the class. You do This woman was so enraged. Like, do you have any idea what I'm going through? She said, can someone get this thing out of here? It's easy to tell other people to do better. I mean, I don't watch football, but I see people who are watching football. They're spectators, okay? They don't even play for Fifth Avenue local football station, you know, association. They don't even play for you know, like, not I'm not even talking about the council, Barnet Council. I'm talking about North End Road Football Association. They don't play. But you listen to them. When their team is losing, you're hearing, Adebayo, can you not kick that? How could you have missed that goal? And how could you have done that? Oh my gosh, this is rubbish. He should, and I see, I don't want to mention names. I see them afterwards over there. And they're discussing and saying, did you see what that guy did? How could he have missed that goal? He should have just done this and passed it this way. He should have. And I'm looking and thinking, really? That foolish person missed that goal is a professional footballer. He's paid £25,000 a week or £100,000 a week. You, you can't. You are here coaching. Right, okay. You know how to do it better. Sometimes that's how we're like. And so I used to look at that guy and think, come on now. You can do so much better to get your... You could be more violent. The kingdom of God suffers violent. The violent take it by force. You're not violent enough. Okay? But Jesus said, why? Why do you want to be made well? And of course, for me, if it had been me, I would have just passed by him like, you're not ready for healing right now, you know. change your attitude. Because the guy was telling stories like, I have no man. Like, everyone else has people to drop them in there. I don't have. And while I'm trying to get there, you know, someone else gets in. So he was blaming, we can tell. Okay? I have no man. Listen, guys, we must never look to human beings to do what only God can do for us. We can't. I have no man to throw me in the water. Don't look to man. Man will fail us. Man will disappoint us because we're human beings. You know what? And what happens is when men disappoint us and fail us, we think, oh, look at what that person did. We do this well sometimes because we're just human beings. You know, 38 years, even if you had loving family, loving friends, they cannot be with you for 38 years. If you expect them to be with you for 38 years, then you're selfish and self-centered because they need to get their own lives sorted out. They can't be with you. Amen? So we can't look to man. And it says, while I'm trying to get there, so he had tried. He had tried to get there. Why trying to get other people jump in there before me? There are some things that we cannot do in our own strength. The arm of flesh will fail us. I have tried so many times to get there. Other people jump in there before me. And I can see a picture of people like he's sick, so sick to the point that he can't get to where he wants to get to. Can you imagine you're wanting to do something and the very thing that you need to accomplish what you want to accomplish, you don't have. You don't have that thing. You don't have it. You need to get into that pool of water. All you need is strength in your legs to jump in there. And then what he's witnessed is other people who maybe they're not as sick as he is, but because they're stronger and fitter, as soon as the angels get in there, they run. And he's thinking, I've been here longer than you. My predicament is worse than yours. It's not fair. So I would have passed him by, but he's merciful. He's wave your hands and say, thank you for your mercy and your favor. Because all Jesus was wanting to get out of him was something. Like, do you want to be made well? He said all of those stories. But you know what? He didn't say, no, I don't want to be. Maybe he's like thinking, I'm so comfortable here. I am no longer responsible for my life. I'm accustomed to this. I want to be, but I can't. That was more or less what he was saying. I want to be, but I can't. And Jesus just took that. You want to be? Okay. I can't. And it's amazing how Jesus... You know, sometimes you think God won't ask you to do what you cannot do. We always think he won't ask you to do what you cannot do. But you know what? He knows our name. He says, before he formed us in our mother's womb, he knew us. Only he knows what he has deposited on the inside of us. You know, we ourselves don't even know ourselves. We don't know what we're capable of doing. It's on the inside. He's put it in there as seed form. And because we've never done it, sometimes we think we can't do it. So the Lord said to him, you know, I think also when he saw Jesus, I have no man to put me in the water. So maybe he was looking to Jesus to help him get to the water. We cannot put God in a box. Because God will do what he wants to do, however he wants to do it. However he wants to, whichever way, we don't dictate. And you know what? Because he's done it a certain way before, doesn't mean he's going to do it that same way. Let's not put God in a box. I have no man. And so he sat there and let life pass him by. And then one day, say to your neighbor, one day, It just takes one day. It takes one day. It takes one day. Amen? There are a few things I want us to just learn from this. Some things that we shouldn't do, and some things that we should do. Amen? First, don't be so consumed by what's going on around you that you almost miss or you miss what God is doing. He was so consumed by, I have no man to put me in the water. I have this one, that one. Jesus was standing right in front of him, the miracle worker, the healer, his savior, his redeemer, his master, the one who is able to change his situation, change his circumstance, no matter how long he had been in that situation, the one who could change it in an instant, was standing right in front of him, and he did not recognize Jesus. He didn't. He was too caught up in with only whatever, whatever, whatever. So let's not be like that. Amen? Let's not be like that. Hallelujah. Amen. But there are a few things that I want to say that in spite of this guy's failings, that he did well. Look, the Bible says that he didn't even know who Jesus was, right? He didn't. But there was something on the inside of him. You know, although he was looking at Jesus and thinking, oh, maybe you can help me. I don't know what he was thinking. But he was able to discern that this man standing in front of me is worth listening to, is worth obeying. Because he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know about how Jesus had healed in the past or whatever. Remember the story of blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus. And so when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he was desperate for his healing. He was screaming, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He was doing that. Listen, that woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, she had heard about Jesus. So in her heart, she said in her heart, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. So she went looking for him and went to grab what she needed from him. This man did not know Jesus. But when Jesus was standing in front of him, despite the fact that he didn't know who Jesus was, he didn't know about, he just thought, okay, let me listen to this guy. So he discerned that, okay, this man is worth listening to. I mean, come on, you're paralyzed or whatever, you can't get. And someone you don't know comes to you and says, rise up, take up your bed and walk. If you're full of stories, full of excuses, and you don't want to move on, you're going to say, man, what do you mean, rise up, take up my bed and go and walk? Of course I can't do that. You know I can't. That's why I've been here. I've been in this situation for 38 years. What are you talking about? So he discerned what listening to. He made a decision there and then that he was going to listen, he was going to obey. Remember when the wine ran out, the wedding of Cana, and Jesus' mother Mary said to the guys who were looking for wine, she said to them, whatever he says to you, do it. There was no one there to tell this man that man is Jesus. He can heal you. He can change your life in an instant. So whatever he says you should do, do it. He didn't have that. But the moment Jesus said to him, rise up, take up your mat and walk, he did it. Hallelujah. He didn't come up with excuses, didn't say anything else. Amen. So he made a decision and he acted on what he decided he was going to do. And really, we need to commend this guy. You think about it. The Bible says he was lying down there helpless. I think maybe he got to a stage where he just thought to himself, look, if God doesn't rescue me, if God doesn't save me, if God doesn't help me, this is my lot. I think so. I really believe that here. But another thing to commend him for was that he had been ill for 38 years and he was coming to this same pool. Right? And he didn't get his healing. And really and truly, that fateful day, was he to know that day he will meet Jesus. He didn't. So the next thing he also did, which was fantastic, was that he located himself at the right place. I want you to pinch your neighbor right now and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you've got to be at the right place at the right time so you don't miss your blessings. So you don't miss your blessings. You've got to be. Listen, what if that day the man had had enough and said, look, 38 years I've been with this sickness. Look, take me to another, take me to the beautiful gate. Let me go and beg for alms there. Well, there's no point in going to sit down there and hope that, you know, one day, you know, the angels will stir the water and I'll be first in line. I've been doing this thing for too long. He didn't give up hope. He didn't quit. He really didn't. He just thought, well, you know, I'm okay with my sorry, self-pity and all, yeah. He still came and, you know, with his bag of rubbish, he still kind of, he still located, location, location, location. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five. Don't hit them. And say, location, location is important. The right place at the right time. So you get your miracle. Amen. If he had taken a day off that day, he would have missed it. Hallelujah. Amen. So no more excuses. And think about it as well. The environment where this guy had been. The Bible says there were a multitude of sick people. All of them sick. Think about the kind of talk that would have been going on. You're deaf. Oh, at least you can see. It's okay. I can see. I'm paralyzed. I can't even walk. I mean, like, it would have been a negative environment. Like, oh, my case is even worse than yours. And somebody would say, oh, look, I feel so sorry for you. You've been had this only 38 years. What are you still doing here anyway? There are people who have been here 6 months and they've just jumped in before you. Didn't you hear of the case of Jesse? She came here. She came here 2 days ago, the angel came, and he would have heard rubbish. He would have heard, and not only heard, he would have seen it too with his eyes. He would have seen it. Okay, and the Bible says, bad company corrupts good character, 1 Corinthians 15:33. So what we hear can affect us. The company we keep, that was the company he was keeping. But somehow, he still managed to still come in spite of the negativity he was hearing and the fact that he saw that it looks like I ain't going to get my help. And then one day, just put up your hand and say, one day. One day. And Lord, today is my day. Today is my day. Guys, you cannot just say today is one cursed day. You can say it. Okay, as I said, say it. Today is my day. I am located in the right place. In the right place at the right time. I am in the house of mercy. Today is my day. Mercy locates me. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Today is our day. Today is our day. Not tomorrow. And you know, I know by the Spirit of God, someone here, you've been believing God for so long for that breakthrough. And you're thinking, Lord, when? I thought it was going to be this year. I thought it was going to be this month. It's October, end of October. Lord, 2016 cannot pass me by. 2016 cannot pass me by. I have to get my breakthrough. 31st of December, 2016, I am going to be testifying. Lift up your hands right now and take it in Jesus' name. You have been here believing God for your child, believing God for your marriage, believing God for a change in your circumstance. And you've been saying, Lord, I have been waiting too long. I have been waiting too long. I have been praying and I know that you are a God who answers by fire. Lord, I know you will answer. I know that at the end of the year, I will testify. Today is your day. Today is your day. Give your neighbor a high 10. High, look. You know what? You can give them a high 20. Up to your feet. Well, you're going to give your neighbor a high 20. Everybody rise to your feet. Okay, face your neighbor. I'll show you how to give your neighbor a high 20. Kolabasite. You're going to give your neighbor a high 20. Do you know what a high 20 is? Amen. Please hold. So, high 20. So, thanks, Anthony. So, you're going to Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to give God a high. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, hey, I am giving you a high 20 because God is going to do in my life what I have been waiting for so long. God is going to give me that breakthrough that I have been believing for. God is getting ready to give me my major breakthrough. Today is my day. High 20. High 20. Come on. Give it. Today is my day. Today is my day. Now is my time. Now is my hour. He's coming through for me. Hallelujah. Listen. What that guy, what had been plaguing him for 38 years, within 38 seconds, hallelujah, of Jesus showing up. Hey! 38 long, miserable years. All it takes is for the presence of the Lord to descend. That's all it takes. All it takes. And doesn't take the stirring of the water. Because when Jesus healed him, he didn't stir the water. He didn't call the angels to come down, stir the water, and throw him in. Jesus spoke the word. Hallelujah. Caleb spoke the word. He spoke the word. He spoke the word. But listen, that guy had to do something. Say to yourself, I have to do something. When Jesus speaks, I have to act on the word. He had to walk on the word. He had to act on the word. Jesus says, get up. That is the word. Rise up. Take your mat and walk. He took his mat and he walked. That was God showing him that this, your miracle, is a permanent miracle. You're not coming back. Kolaba, it is a permanent miracle. It's a permanent one. I'm taking my mat. I'm not going back to lie down that mat. Jesus has done it, and he's done it. It's a permanent fix. This is permanent. Hallelujah! It's a permanent miracle. In Jesus' name, lift up your hands right now. Kalebo Shente. Just begin to thank the Lord. Think about those things that you've been believing God for. Kolaba. Speak the word of God over it. Declare the word of God. You will declare it that you will be established. He must be established. He will. He will. His word will not return unto him void. He exalts his word above his name. And even at the mention of his name, every knee must bow. So speak the word. Declare the word over your situation, over your circumstance, right? The presence of the Lord is here to bring change, to bring transformation in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your miracle working power. Lord, thank you that even as we wait, we are waiting victoriously. We are waiting with our hands raised up in praise. We are waiting in great expectation. We are waiting knowing that our Father God will not fail us. We are waiting. And we know that you single us out. You know us by name. You single us out. Lord, we thank you for the general blessings. And Father, we thank you for the specific blessings. Lord, that's what you're doing this hour. Specific blessings. Lord, you're delivering specific blessings. Lord, to your people right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you, O God. We bless your name. Father, we thank you. Now, I want you to just really begin to thank the Lord. I want you to thank him like you know that he can never fail you. I want you to thank him like you know that he has located you. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. In Jesus' name.